Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 26th of February, the 57th day of 2024, with 308 days ahead of us on our way to 2025. We're about to enter those interesting weeks of the cusp between seasons, when the old-timers are attentive to even the least scintilla of warmth. Perhaps the sun warming a section of wall one is leaning against, or the faintly pronounced difference in the color of the landscape, or the ineluctable belief that within the tree near the window, the phloem and the cambium and the xylem are beginning to dance. In short, the old-timers will say, we're about to break the back of winter. Poet Jean Valentine in Light Me Down phrases things this way. Light me down to the long meadow, to where the new snow taps on the fallen snow, with the fingers of the lost tribe. More or less on schedule in the garden, my girlfriend and I have mostly let run wild the snowdrops, also known as galanthus, have once again gallantly emerged. They are, like many plants, descendants of well-traveled heritage, thought to have first been used as folk remedies for various ailments. Botanists believe the original habitat of snowdrops was Central Asia, from where they were exported by midwives and monks through much of Europe and the British Isles, and eventually to the Americas. Heavenward, this past Wednesday around supper time, close to the European Space Agency's prediction, the 29-year-old European remote sensing satellite known as ERS-2 successfully completed its re-entry into Earth's atmosphere. Various parts that had not disintegrated during re-entry landed in the North Pacific Ocean, and no damage has since been reported. And on this past Friday into Saturday, we enjoyed our February full moon, often called the snow moon, as well as the bald eagle moon, the black bear moon, the raccoon moon, the groundhog moon, and the goose moon. Relative to size, our February full moon this year is also known as a micro moon, as opposed to a super moon, since our February full moon is at its farthest point from Earth, specifically 252,225 miles away at the moment. This morning, before sunrise, the moon was flanked in the west-southwest on its left by the bright star Spica, on to the right by the bright star Regulus. Slightly above was the star Denebula from the constellation Leo the Lion. After sundown tonight, Jupiter will appear in the west-southwest. And, of course, we had considerable hoopla near the end of last week at the success of NASA's IM-1 lunar lander named Odysseus, which touched down upright in good shape, touted by NASA's Administrator Bill Nelson as the first time in half a century America has returned to the moon. One may wonder, however, what Homer, presumed author of the Odyssey, would have to say about the connection. Will the spacecraft Odysseus now have 20 years of hardship, 10 years of war, and then 10 years trying to get home? Yet, on other fronts, such as the front page of the local paper, we're in that time of year when the important stuff is happening. The high school basketball tournaments. In the girls' basketball semifinal action, for example, this past week had Katahdin beating Wisdom, though each team had a player scoring in excess of 20 points, Hunter Hartsgrove and Lily Roy, respectively, showing that for Maine in general, the wonders of Cindy Blodgett live on. Today in 1616, the Roman Inquisition delivered an injunction to astronomer Galileo Galilei, demanding that he abandon his belief in heliocentrism, that the earth and planets revolved around the sun, and instead to hold the church's view that the earth was at the center of the universe. Today in 1910, pacifist and spiritual leader Mahatma Gandhi supported the African People's Organization's resolution to declare the Prince of Wales's Day of arrival in South Africa a day of mourning in protest against the South Africa Acts of disenfranchisement of Indians, coloreds, and Africans. Today in 1919, the U.S. Congress established the Grand Canyon National Park in Arizona. Today in 1929, U.S. President Calvin Coolidge established Grand Teton National Park. Today in 1930, the first red and green traffic lights were installed in Manhattan, New York City. Today in 1936, Adolf Hitler introduced automaker Ferdinand Porsche's Volkswagen. Today in 1971, United Nations Secretary General U Thant signed a proclamation of the vernal equinox to be celebrated as Earth Day. Today in 1932, in Kingsland, Arkansas, Johnny Cash was born into a family that were barely able to feed themselves by raising cotton on a small farm. Johnny Cash had five siblings. Extra income came from selling appliances in Memphis, but Johnny wanted to do something with music, saying, "I got the idea of singing for a living because I was starving to death. You don't have to be living in poverty to be a successful country singer, but it helps." In 1955, Johnny won a recording contract but did not score big hits until the 1960s with Ring of Fire and I Walk the Line. Later hits would include A Boy Named Sue and Folsom Prison Blues. Johnny's resonant voice reflected his hard scrabble background, which many wanted to believe had meant prison, too, but Johnny tried to convince folks he had not been a convict. "Only been in jail twice and just overnight, but you don't need much to see what it's like." Today is also the birthday in 1564 of English poet and dramatist Christopher Marlowe, in 1802 of French writer Victor Hugo, in 1829 of German-born American clothing designer Levi Strauss, in 1846 of American hunter and showman William Buffalo Bill Cody, in 1852 of the American surgeon, nutritionist, and inspirer of the flaked cereal industry, John Harvey Kellogg, in 1866 of American chemical industrialist Herbert Henry Dow, in 1875 of British actress Emma Dunn, in 1906 of British actress Madeline Carroll, in 1916 of American comedian and actor Jackie Gleason, in 1920 of American actor Tony Randall, in 1921 of American actress Betty Hutton, in 1926 of American actress Cynthia Stone, in 1928 of American R&B piano player and singer Fats Domino, in 1939 of British actress Josephine Tusson, in 1944 of American comedian Marilyn Michaels, in 1945 of American rocker Mitch Ryder, in 1947 of English rocker Sandy Shaw, and in 1952 of Scottish rock and jazz bassist John Giblin. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Here's to the 10th week of winter and to the 9th week of 2024.